You're listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. Join us today as we tackle hard topics, current and future events, as well as tough questions about the Bible from our live listening audience. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. Our hope and prayer is that through this program, you continue to ask questions and seek God's truth so you may be equipped to stand firm in your faith and grow closer in your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to The Threshing Floor. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite radio station, 104.3 Joy FM. Once again, we are under a tsunami, yes. It seems like. This has been the wettest month that, as far as right before summer in May, the wettest May that I can recall. Usually it's April and then May's a little nicer, but it is every day, it seems like. It's just wet. So if you're driving in this, please be careful. I know the roads are just susceptible to flash flooding and other things. And if you're listening to this from around the world and you're not experiencing this, I know you have your own issues and your own problems. And, God will get us through all of these things. Before we get into the topic, we're going through the seven I am statements in John that Jesus talked about. I just have like a quick little word I just want to say. It's like the right before the summer jitters. Right. For you teachers out there and you students, I know there's change always creates anticipation or frustration. I know I was talking to my son, and he said at the school, kids are just on edge, even to the point where they're like getting in arguments and fighting and stuff. And, I feel like that the enemy will always use change to get us off our game, so to speak, to really use it to get on our nerves and make us real edgy, and to the point where everything seems to set you on nerves. Everything seems to just be negative. And I would say just recognize what that is. With change, it's either positive or negative, and everybody's ready for the summer, ready to get out of school, ready for what's next, ready for this COVID to be over, ready for what's next. Don't allow the enemy to control your emotions. So I have with me here today Pastor Tim Lowry, Pastor David Ballou. Guys, how's it going?
It's going good, and I'm thinking about change.
Yeah.
There's more than change going on. Besides getting ready for summer, I'm getting ready for vacation, and that's all good.
Yep.
But what I see going on in the world, man, there's some changes going on.
There's some, yes, global changes.
And the interesting thing is the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. So in the midst of all that stuff that's going on, the peace that passes all understanding can be ours.
Yesterday, we're going through some crazy stuff, and I'm actually writing stuff down now. I'm actually physically documenting this because sometimes you just can't even believe what's going on. And last night when I was just going, Lord, what? There's this all kinds of this change that's about to happen. And I just heard this small, still voice that said, be still and know that I'm God. And how hard is that when you see all these crazy things going around you? But you know what? You can do that when you have a foundation of Christ. And maybe you don't know what we're talking about because you're scattered and you're frightened because you don't have that foundation. But if you are rooted and grounded in Christ, then it's not easy. It's not saying I can just go, okay, peace, I'm going to hang out and be, know that you're God. It's a physical choice you've got to make, but there is that peace that comes. And last night, I had this amazing peace. And even though the crazy stuff that we're being going through and what we're hearing other people going through and all these different things. And so that's something, like you said, Pastor, you have to have that mindset.
Yeah.
To change. Don't get affected by the change. Don't let the enemy win.
Just got to roll with the change, and I think people are tired of so much change in this last year and a half, it's almost like this is just too much. It's just too much.
Well, it's like they want to go back to the way they had it, almost like the Egyptians when they were led out of Egypt. Like, why can't we just go back? You know, I'd rather be in slavery than starving or in this heat with no water. And we're, because they're frustrated. That was a big change for them. Now we feel like we want to go back. And you know what the reality is? Just like the Israelites, there is no going back. The norm has changed. Mm-hmm. So either you go with God and you follow his path and you say, okay, what's this new adventure? Or you're going to grumble and complain the whole time and let the enemy win.
And we have the ability to serve the Lord in any and every situation. Our faith is universal, and there should be nothing that should ever stop us and make a step back with our relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
So we're looking at John chapter 11, verse 25. And it's important, really, that we're talking about this because this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is what it said. He's there talking to Lazarus's sister. And he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. This is like big picture thinking right here.
Can you imagine being back at that time going, what?
You know, and listen, it is right to mourn your brother who has just passed away, your family member, whatever issue you're going through. But I think Jesus invites us to step into the bigger picture of what's going on. He says, I am the life. I am the resurrection. There is nothing that you can go through in this world that I cannot bring you back from.
Mm, yeah.
And that's the word of the day as we're looking at this next I am statement. Jesus is, through every one of these statements, I am the door, or I am the good shepherd. In every one of these, he's describing himself and the freedom that we have in him and through him. And so this is just one of those foundational statements that he can bring us back from anything. And so today we're going to look at three different pictures of resurrections that took place. We're going to look at the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. We're going to look at the resurrection of the Nain widow's only son. And then we'll look at, in the context we're looking right here, the resurrection of Lazarus. And each one has, I guess I would say, a different aspect of what Jesus brings us back from.
Right.
And so we've all had that moment, you know, where we feel like something devastating has happened. It can be anything. Got a call from a church member that their house was flooding, and this was in some recent, not through the storms, but right before that, there was a line that was weakened through the ice, mm-hmm. and it didn't rupture then, but all of a sudden later, it then ruptured, and then there's like a river flowing out of their attic into the utility room, and it's like shut the water off. do you know where the shutoff is? But sometimes we just panic, you know. Right. And that's not what God has for us. And I know, Pastor David, you've worked a lot of disaster relief, and you've seen homes tore apart and you've seen them put back together. That's what God does.
I do a good job tearing them apart. I do.
So in this, first, we're going to look at the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. In this moment, you have to realize who Jairus was. He's a synagogue ruler, a very important, influential man, but he loves the Lord. He has served the Lord, and he recognized Jesus as the one who has the power to raise his daughter. He said his only daughter, a girl of 12, was dying. So she hadn't died yet. And so Jesus immediately knows that he is the answer. So he immediately goes with them. And so he's on the way. And we really don't have time to read all the scripture, but in the middle of that, there's an interruption where this woman pushes through the crowd. It's the woman with the issue of blood. And it stops everything. And it's just more time. So imagine Jairus at this moment where time is of the essence here. And then Jesus stops to heal this woman with the issue of blood. So looking through his eyes and in his shoes, if we put ourselves in his shoes, it's like, Jesus, I need you to deal with my problem.
Right.
My problem. And have you ever felt that way? It's like, you know, everybody else is getting their need met, but what about my need? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is serious. Why would you turn aside and do this? And that's what we see. I feel like that in a moment where we want God's priorities to be our priority.
Mm, yeah.
And sometimes it always doesn't happen like that.
Actually, it shouldn't happen that way. His priority should be our priority.
That's right.
Yes. And sometimes it's the fact that, you know, we're human and we get into that survival mode. It's like, Lord, we know you can do it. Help us. But sometimes we don't see the bigger picture that when God works, he's orchestrating all things for everybody to work together for his good, that for those who love him. So if he's on that way and somebody else is saying, hey, I have a need too, it's not like, okay, wait, you come first. God doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's God just, he works all these things to orchestrate it so that everyone is blessed.
And I also see maybe something in this man who's looking to see his daughter healed. Maybe he feels like he has earned the right to ask Jesus to heal his daughter. I'm the synagogue ruler. Do you understand who I am? If anybody has the right to receive a miracle in his household, it should be me, you know. And I don't know.
Right. Or do you think he's the opposite way, where he's risking his career to actually go? It's like, this is my last resort. I know that Christ is healing. He's yet I'm told by my boss that I'm not supposed to even talk to this guy.
That's right.
So. To be in that presence, man, that would be like, you're my last hope. And then to have him going and doing something else. You're like, wait, yeah. You know, what if I'm seen by one of the Pharisees? What if I'm seen by, you know, and yet he was willing to give all of that up for his daughter. I mean, that's a pretty powerful thing.
But you know, there is a lapse in time, but I'll start in verse 49 of Luke 8, and it says, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, said, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So in the middle of traveling, they said, you know what? Your daughter's already dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore.
Yeah, but there's
Jesus
still a long way for him to get there. You know, there's no point.
But Jesus, he is the life. So he says, you know, I can still work through this situation. I can still heal your daughter. You know, any parent knows and understands what Jairus is going through. I think we've all had those moments of intense fear for our loved one. And I'm going to tell on this video we just watched. You know, Tim, we were watching the video of his family trying to get home down a flooded road. I was like, man, I would tell my family, don't ever show me a video of while something's happening. Yes. That makes it worse.
Oh yeah. And then they didn't finish it. So I'm like, did it actually survive? It's like, you know, I'm like sitting there going, please, please answer the phone.
Yes. And it's like the water's going over the hood and they're filming this and they send it to you and you're nowhere around.
In the live, it's like, I'm watching them do this live.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh my goodness.
I mean, that's crazy. But you know, as a parent, you know, we have great moments of fear contained in the life of this little girl, where his dreams, his visions, and maybe he had a vision of his daughter growing up and being a beautiful young woman, a vision of the wedding day, of holding his grandchildren, so many visions and dreams, and then they are laying there cold dead, and she is no more. So life has drained from her body. And life drains from the vision. So when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he's saying that he can give our vision, or I would call it our outlook on life. He can give it restoration. He can resurrect that. And he can turn it in a moment where a moment of sorrow to a moment of joy. And only Jesus can do that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe after the break, I'd like to just jump in and talk about the dream thieves, the forces that come in to bring death to your vision, bring death to your dreams. And I think Jesus has an answer for that one.
Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, but that's just the base price, and you have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty, and that covers both bumpers, not the car itself, and don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, welcome back to the show. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully that you are safe wherever you are, if you're driving or at home, at work. We're just thrilled that you have decided just to tune in with us here on The Threshing Floor. If you have any comments, I would like to give you that number to text, or if you'd like to drop us a letter in the mail, I'll give you the address. Anytime that you would like us to talk about a subject or you have a question about anything, you can always text this number. It is 936-337-1413. Or you can write us a letter in the mail, make it out to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. So we're talking about today that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And in the story of Jairus and his daughter, we see that Jesus can restore our vision or our outlook. And Pastor David, you talked about dream stealers. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, the Bible says this in Proverbs 29:18. It says, if my people perish for lack of knowledge. The Message Bible says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. See, and the devil in the world system wants to squeeze us into its mold and keep us from seeing so many things about God. God, that they don't want us to see God's love, God's faithfulness, God's trustworthiness. And so oftentimes, you know, we might have a dream for our children, like this man had for his daughter, obviously, and he wanted her to live. And in her condition, she was dying, and she eventually died. And so many times we have dreams that God puts in our heart, but circumstances come our way, life happens, and all of a sudden, the dream thieves, through people, through circumstances, through obstacles, whatever it might be, steal those dreams from us. And we walk around aimless. You know, we are aimless, and God wants us to walk with purpose, and he's the only one that can resurrect those dreams. And if you recognize the dream thieves, then you can deal with them in the name of Jesus, you know. Right. And so that's the important thing there.
Luke 11:33 says this: your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body is also full of darkness. So your eye, I think it represents your outlook on life. the passage of scripture I just read is basically saying wherever you focus, what you put your focus on, that becomes your character. You kind of morph into that and you make that a part of your vision. So if your outlook, if you're a ministry leader or a pastor, is that nobody's going to show up to your church service today, and you wake up thinking that, it's like, why do I even bother preparing? There's not going to be anybody coming in. It's a stormy day, and every time it rains, people, they just don't want to show. And so we can easily get ourselves down in what I call the mully grubs, you know, where you just, you grumble. And if that is your outlook, then it kind of morphs and becomes a part of you. If you're always focused on the negative, you become a negative person. So what we're really saying is that God will resurrect your positive attitude. God can give you a new look, fresh wind, fresh fire, and something good to say. Something good to talk about.
In an instant. And but you have to be willing to be obedient to have the... Number one, not have that pity party when you get into a situation, and so that your mindset is focused on Christ and being able to hear him and just be obedient. Because when you're obedient in those situations, those are when the moments change. Those are when you go from utter hopelessness to complete hope. And nothing in your strength that did it. It's only Christ that does that. And you feel that power. And that's what gives you the motion, the energy to go on.
Well, the Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me, you know. And so when we lose peace, when we lose vision, when we lose, you know, forward thinking, you know, look to God. Draw near to him. He says he's going to draw near to you. And that's when the resurrection life to your vision, to your purpose, you know, to your relationship with God comes alive again, because he is the resurrection and the life.
When I was in my 20s, before I went into ministry, I worked at Louisiana Pacific in a OSB mill, and we worked shift work. A lot of times at nights, it was just myself and another guy who is responsible for a lot of equipment. And, you know, you become really close to your partner, the guy who you work with, because you rely on him for everything. But, you know, this guy had the worst attitude. And he was always complaining about the company, how the company's shortchanging us some money, the company doesn't do this. And, I mean, I actually, over a period of 6 months, I allowed that to infiltrate my mind and my soul, and I became bitter. And I realized that I got to the point where I hated going to work. And it was a good job. It really was. It provided for my family, and I enjoyed it. But you just hear this we were 12-hour shifts, and this was like a constant complaining spirit. The only way I could combat that is during times when we weren't together, I had this little pocket Bible, and I started just soaking in the Word as much as I could. And that's how I pulled out of it, I'll be honest with you, because I recognized that I was actually starting to look for other jobs, you know, I've got to get out of this place, this is the worst job, but it really wasn't. It was one of the highest paid jobs in this town of Carthage. But, you know, even the great situations, if you allow things to wear you down, it'll pull you down. So, you know, sometimes we have to look at not only ourselves, but who are we giving ear to? Right. Who are we hanging around? Because people will build you up or they'll pull you down. And I've seen it in my own life, and I'm sure that you've seen it in yours. It's like an age-old bit of wisdom where you're going to gravitate to those around you.
Well, you know, sometimes you don't see that, or you're not willing to see that. I remember when I was 17 and I had some really bad friends, and I enjoyed hanging around with them. They were doing drugs, they were drinking, you know, they're getting me into parties that I wasn't supposed to be in. I was the popular kid. And, you know, I was like, I don't see anything wrong with this, you know, even though I was raised in a Christian church, I was going, you know, family and going to church, and weird things that you just you say you rationalize away.
Yeah.
And I just remember my parents physically moved me away from those friends. And sometimes it's an intervention that has to take place. Hopefully you can see it and do it in your own strength. But sometimes you actually need an intervention. And I'm so grateful. At the time, I wasn't. I was screaming and frustrating. But, you know, looking back, I see God's hand was through all of that, because those people around me had such an influence on me. I would have become a drug addict. I would have become, who knows where I would be. I may be in jail at this point, because they had such a heavy influence.
Well, the Bible talks about, you know, bad company corrupts good morals, you know, and it's really important for us who we hang around with. You know, one of the things that grates on my nerves, Pastor, is those people that are negative. They have that, what I call the Eeyore spirit,
yeah.
You know, Eeyore's, you know, from Winnie the Pooh.
Right, yeah.
Thanks for noticing, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? You don't want to hang around too many people like that. You can minister to those people, but you know what? You come around with your full of the love of Jesus and the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, and you be the thermostat in the room. You know, don't let them become the thermostat to adjust your temperature.
In this whole past year of COVID, I feel like, you know, you could tell the believers who surrounded themselves during this period of COVID with some good, positive believers. They had a good network of friends.
It wasn't that
bad. You need to quit that. So, and, you know, but then there's other believers I know who are friends that they, you know, their group, it was, everything was negative. And,
right.
And they can't meet anymore, so they're not going to even bother to do this, what other people are doing, this connect through the computer, through Facebook and stuff like that. We're just not going to, and everything's bad. And so there's a whole outlook, and I believe it's different a year later into this, because it was last February or March when they started shutting everything down. So, you know, and so here we are, 14 months later, you can really tell a difference between people, between believers, is even as they're shut up in their home, did they watch the negative news 24 hours a day? They had that going on in the background, or did they ever just, you know, use that time away to really just get into God's word and to feed themselves, allow the Holy Spirit to feed you? And that's so important. Yeah. Allow the resurrection spirit of God to live in you and resurrect yourself and your whole outlook on life.
Yeah, allow him to change that vision.
Yeah.
I can only take so much news.
Yeah. I know.
It's just, we got rid of ours. We were like, this is,
I mean, it's just over and over and over again. And, you know, it's all negative. You know, it's not, there's not much positive news out there, you know? And so, you know, if you feed yourself with that 24/7, guess what? You're not going to be real healthy.
Yeah, and during that time, you know, it was so heavily politicized. You know this, the left, you know politics or the right politics, and people would ask me, they said, you know, which one do you stand on? And I go, I don't stand for either, because number one, you know, when you look at that media, both sides are being lied to. You know, it's, so you're only getting a form of the truth. I said, the only real truth that I can stand on is the Word of God. And that's if I'm going to stand on something, it's going to be the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say about those issues? That's what I'll address, not a political party. And, you know, people were like, oh, I didn't really think of it that way. It's like, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed we need to hold everything accountable to the Word.
So the first thing we see through this is Jesus can resurrect our attitude. The next point that we look at is you can go to Luke chapter 7 and read the story about the resurrection of the widow of Nain's son. We don't know her name. That's all that she's referred to. She's from Nain, and she's a widow. And this is a passage of scripture that when Jesus was in this town, there was this large crowd, and they were basically carrying this coffin through, and this poor mother, it was her only son, and she was a widow, and the Lord said to her, it says in verse 13, said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." It says the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were filled with awe and praised God. And they said, "A great prophet has appeared among us, and God has come to help his people." And so the news about Jesus spread even further. But from this woman's story, you know, her husband has already died. You know, it's, and it's gone from bad to worse. Now her only son is dead, and it means her future to be a woman in society without being attached to a man was detrimental.
Right.
You had no future.
No income. No future.
You were a beggar. You could not operate without a man. Ladies, aren't you just praising God that that's not the case today? But back then it was. It was, you know, in those days, women had no means of support except for the male members of the family. And so for her, everything, all is lost. All is lost. And so with the passing of her only son, it just came the very last thread of hope for her future. But Jesus, when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he's saying that I can resurrect your future. Where there seems to be no way, there is a way. You may be listening to this in a cell, incarcerated right now. We have several inmates who tune into this show. I just want you to know that just because you are locked up, that doesn't mean your future's over. Your future is not in that cell. Your future is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God can resurrect you. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. This will kind of make it a little clearer what I'm saying. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's a promise that if we, in spite of our current circumstances, like this woman and there's no hope for her, if we just focus on the Lord, his promises.
Yes.
I'm a child of God.
Amen.
A child of the King. He's going to take care of me.
Yes.
That'll give you hope. Hang on to that word, and we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Car Dealer Math, presented by Cutshaw Chevrolet. When shopping for a new or used car, sometimes it seems like the numbers just don't add up.
$15,000, but that's just the base pricing. You have to add the dock fees, our espresso machine fees, detailing fee, dealer prep charges, added value services, tires, our expensive bumper and bumper warranty, and that covers both bumpers, not the car itself. And don't forget our administration fees to prepare all of these fees. That's why $15,000 really equals $24,000.
At Cutshaw Chevrolet in Grapeland, keeping it simple is what we do best. We don't believe in dealer math. The price you see is the price you get. It's that simple. So for a great selection of new and used vehicles, visit us today at CutshawChevrolet.com or call 1-800-CUTSHAW. Cutshaw Chevrolet, keeping it simple every day.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, welcome back once again. We are so glad that you have taken some time out of your day to just spend with us in God's Word here on The Threshing Floor. I have with me here Pastor Tim Lowry, Pastor David Ballou, and we're talking about what Jesus said. He described himself as the resurrection and the life. And so we see that Jesus can resurrect our hope where there seems to be no hope. And that changes everything. When you have Jesus in your corner, it changes everything. You just need to remember these things and look at, as I said, this big picture thinking, as I said earlier, look at the big picture of what he's saying and what he has done for you and what he has for you. We have hope for today. It's available.
You know, I think we take that for granted, those of us who have Christ, to know that that is a foundation that we can stand on. When I see people that are hopeless and devastated, and they're at wit's end, because they don't have Christ. And sometimes we forget, and, you know, that's where that love we can share with them and just show them that hope. And when they catch on to that, and when they finally let Christ into that situation and into their heart, you see that lamp come out of their eyes. You see that light. You see the joy. And even, it's not saying the situation is going to be perfect, but you see the hope restored in their eyes, and you go, God's got a hold of you. I can't wait to see what happens.
When I look at this story, I think about those who may have lost a son or lost a daughter in a tragic accident or whatever it might be. And you know, that child's not coming back. You know, where does Jesus fit into that? You know, that's a tough one. You know, that's why it's so important for us to tell our children about Christ so they can put their trust in him, because he just doesn't raise people from the dead. He is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. So our hope, and you know, the scriptures talk about we need to encourage one another with that future looking, heavenly place that God has for us, you know. And so, you know, without Christ, the resurrection and the life, we're all dead men. We're dead people, you know. And so maybe you're out there listening and you've lost someone. My hope is that they were believers in Christ, because he is the resurrection and the life. And there's good things in store for those who have put their trust in Christ. I guarantee it. It's going to be awesome when we all come together, you know, at that marriage supper of the Lamb and feast with him in heavenly places.
You know, lately what I've been dealing with, I just had to be patient with this, because remember when we had that big ice storm? It's been 2 months ago, and a little longer. You know, we had a lot of flooring that had to be replaced. It was 1,200 square feet of tile at the church, the entire foyer and both bathrooms, because it got so cold so quickly. The slab shrank, and as the tile, it started popping.
It
buckled, and it was hollow, and they started breaking up, and it was a trip hazard, and it was a real pain. And so through that, my initial thought was, okay, you know, we have insurance, it's going to cover it, but the insurance started really dragging their feet. You know, we had to go ahead and remove it because it was a trip hazard, and we had to move forward. But I would try every other day to check up, and it's like I got ghosted by my own insurance company, you know, and they would contact like, you know,
Pastor Jeb who?
Every other week. But they said, listen, you just have to understand, we have hundreds of claims that per person on their caseload, and we're working on it. And, you know, people would ask me for an update, you know, what's the update on this? Because, you know, that's pretty expensive.
Right.
You know, 1,200 square feet of tile. But, you know, I just had to really wait and just realize, you know what, this insurance company may or may not come through for us, but, you know, this is God's church. It belongs to him, and I'm just facilitating this. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There's something about just waiting and just allowing God to take that problem away. Well, I just got word yesterday. They finally got with me and said, okay, we've gone through the entire case. We looked at the engineer's report after we had an engineer inspect it, and they said, it looks like we are going to be able to pay this claim. And so it's like, okay, all right. There's light at the end of the tunnel, but I really wasn't allowing this to, every time I walk into the church, it wasn't just a negative thing that was weighing me down. I just put it upon the Lord, you know, and it's like, I'm not going to worry about this. God, this is your house. If you want a nice floor to go in the foyer, you'll make it happen. And, you know, the finances did come through, but it has been the longest wait I've ever heard for any insurance claim. And it kind of made me nervous. I said, well, you know, that doesn't sound like that is an automatic coverage. We need to send out an engineer. It's like, oh, here we go.
Right.
Got to meet with the engineer. And he did. And he went through everything and took scrapings and samples and measurements, and even told us about, you know, something that we didn't have was an expansion joint. And I said, well, that's negative. You know, well, we'll just see what happens. But it's in times and situations where there seems to be no hope, we have to realize that we have hope. We have hope for today. We have hope for tomorrow. James 4:13 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go such and such city, spend a year there and engage in business, make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. What I feel like when I read that passage of scripture is we need to pick our battles and or worry about the eternal things and not worry about things that aren't eternal. You know, issue like fluorine, yeah, it is a big deal, but is it eternal? You know, Jesus is going to take us, and that fluorine will be there for the devil.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, I mean
it ain't coming with you.
I mean, the Antichrist can come in and walk all over that floor once we're gone. And that's, you know, because it's not an eternal thing. So when it comes down to it, the things that you worry about, the things that you feel hopeless about, put it through that filter. How much of eternal value does this issue have?
That's good.
And I think it'll really it'll change your perspective. I'll even go a step further. I'm gonna sidestep here. The Lord just kind of dropped this in my heart. When Vanessa and I do marriage counseling, we say the exact same thing. Don't fight about things that really are of no eternal value. You're talking about fighting with your spouse or your kids. Are you fighting about what to watch on television on a Friday night? I mean, is it worth an all-out, you know, blow up? Or is this really of eternal value? I bet even in your relationships, if you run that filter, you won't fight about near as much because you're looking at what is eternal, you know.
Well,
what really matters.
I think that filter is critical because the enemy wants to make the pressure of that situation that you're in that's on this earth feel so intense and so, you know, hopeless in that moment that he's trying to get you off of the eternal. He's trying to trip you up. And if you don't have that filter, a lot of people do get tripped up, or worse, they lose the blessing because they were deceived out of it. It's kind of like, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to run this race. And the suddenly they say, oh, well, here's the real finish line. And you go through it and you're like, yes. But it's like that, you know, the Wile E. Coyote guy. He's like, that's the fake finish line. The real finish line is like, you know, another mile away. And everyone's running past him. He's like, what? I already won, you know. But he was deceived. And if you let the enemy do that, you're going to be deceived. And that's, I don't know where my cartoon analogy came from, but it's fun to think of it that way.
So putting ourselves back into this widow's mindset, she really had no idea that Jesus was about to come in and change everything all in a moment. And as you said, Tim, it can happen that quickly. Something could happen. Something could turn around. When Vanessa and I were house parents at the children's home, we did that for 10 years. Financially, things got really bad. And the bills were getting stacked up. And we were just about not be able to pay this next set, and we weren't going to get paid, and a lot of things weren't going to get paid. But the director of the home, he felt the prompting of the Spirit, just go to the post office one more time, because he called a big staff meeting, and he's fixing to have to start maybe send kids and staff and, you know, lay off and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, at the very last moment, there was a check in there enough to get everything caught up. And it's like, but that, it was like the 11th hour, you know, it was, you know, everybody knew it. We've been praying about it. And a lot of, you know, we just resolved, okay, this is fixing to be some hard times here, and we're gonna have to make some difficult decisions, and this can no longer sustain, but still praying, still allowing God. And all of a sudden, then it's like from one day to the next, it was like a total 180.
Yeah.
It was like everything was just happy, and there was fresh wind in this ministry, and God did that.
But do you see the key to that, though? I mean, as we're looking at these things, it's their obedience to what God's asking them to do. He could have gotten discouraged and said, oh, I'm not going to go look at that mailbox. I looked at it 300 times, and got discouraged because the enemy could have said, there's nothing in there. You're just hearing things. You know, you just need to start packing up and laying people off. But out of that obedience, in an instant, God changed that. And that's what we have to be in our lives. We have to be willing to take, when we can't see with our eyes, we have to be willing to take what God says and be obedient. Because otherwise we're going to miss those blessings. We're going to miss those opportunities. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out the way that we want it to. But like you said, Pastor, you guys were prepared. You were ready. But when God shows up and he does that, man, nobody can take that away from you. You can't pry that off of you. That is an experience that you've encountered with the living God. Nobody can take that away from you. And that fuels you to be able to stand and preach and share his love, his gospel, and his truth to everybody around.
Let's get to our last point that we're looking at with the resurrection of Lazarus. That's in John chapter 11. In this moment... It's like Jesus purposefully did not go when he heard the news that his friend Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they needed him, and Lazarus was sick and dying, and then he had passed away completely. In John 11:17, it said, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been already dead in the tomb for 4 days, and Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them for the loss of their brother. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Then he asked her this question, do you believe this? That's important. You know, we can read about it. We can hear the preacher talk about it, the Bible study leader talk about it. But I think it's important when Jesus asks that question, do you believe this? This was a question of faith, where their faith was lost, and Jesus was there to restore faith. That has probably happened to so many of us, where it seems like we have gone through such a traumatic occurrence or maybe a series of things, it just robs us of our faith. But, you know, if we rely upon Christ and his promises, he will restore our faith. When he asked her this question, she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister, and the teacher is here and asking for you. And so then they went went to the tomb. And we'll read that in just a minute after the break, what happens. But I think there's a moment in all of our hearts and all of our minds where we read about the promises of Jesus, and we have a good understanding of it, but when the rubber meets the road, it is very hard to stand in that faith.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that right after this message.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. The studio lines are now open. You can text your questions to 936-337-1413. 936-337-1413.
Bella Gifts from the Heart is proud to be a sponsor of Unshakable. Bella Gifts is located in the historic downtown square of Crockett, Texas. They carry a variety of specialty items selected from a love of style, sense of humor, family, and hope. Stop by Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. or Saturdays till 4. For directions and more information, call 936-545-1906 or visit BellaGiftsFromTheHeart.com.
the American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air. We're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing, and we can use your help. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
104.3 Joy FM. Feel the joy.
You're listening to The Threshing Floor. Now, here is your host, Pastor Jeb Dotson.
Well, it's been a great show, and we just have some moments left talking about Jesus, where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we're ending with the story of Lazarus, where he asked Martha, do you believe this? It's an issue of faith. But I want to go to Mary's reaction in verse 32 of this. This is John chapter 11, verse 32. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and she saw him, fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This shows the level of faith that so many of us today have, that we get backed into a corner, then we blame God. And that's, she just, can you imagine her pointing her finger at Jesus? If you had come here, my brother would not have died. And, you know, Jesus, as loving, and he is, and how he knows his creation, he just kind of sidesteps what she says, and he just says, where is he? Where have you laid him? And she said, well, come and see. And, you know, this is the moment where he commands them to roll the stone away. This, you know, this is something that you definitely wouldn't do. And
it's unheard of.
She even said, no, we don't need to do that. It's gonna smell. It's going to have this terrible smell. And he said, you know, he said, it's been there for 4 days. But Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So he took away the stone, then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you've always heard me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And it says the dead man came out, his hands and feet were wrapped in strips of linen. So I guess he was kind of like hopping out.
I was going to say, he's kind of like hopping out.
Kind of, yeah, he's wrapped up, but he makes his way out, and they begin to remove these grave clothes. And he said, take the grave clothes off and let him go. This is a moment, this whole story is about faith, where first they call for him, but he did not answer them as he wanted in their time frame. The issue is that they just didn't have faith, and because he did not answer how they thought he should
in the time that they thought.
Now their faith is lost. And here's the statements. Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And the mourners are saying, why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying? And then Jesus, what he says, but I said it out loud for the sake of these standing here that they would believe. He wants us to have faith, and he's willing to prove it, but I also feel like he wants us to meet halfway with that. Just use what little faith we have. And he was proving that he can resurrect our faith so that we can live a new day, so we can face tomorrow. Faith stands not on unanswered prayers, but on the words we speak. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. To those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live again. Those are words of faith. And then he proved it with his actions of faith.
How many of us you think will die? Natural deaths.
I think it's 100%.
100%.
And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, we'll all die, he shall live. See, we live because of our trust in him, our belief in him. He's the bread of life. He's going to sustain us. He's the light of the world. He's not a light. He's the light. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the resurrection and life. And whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. I'm looking at eternal people here that will never die. We may change forms. you know, change locations, but we're here to stay.
And we can start living that eternity here on earth.
Absolutely.
And sharing that eternal joy to those around us, no matter what circumstance we're in, to give him the glory and the praise that he has, everything he's finished on the cross, he said, it is done. All sin, all guilt, everything has been removed. All we have to do is accept that gift of salvation, and we will eternally be with him.
We are spirits, and spirits live forever. Where we live is important. In whom we live is very important.
Yes.
You know, if we are in Christ, Christ is in us. The resurrection and the life brings us home.
So we're going to end this with faith. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen, the substance of us as believers. It's our life, the evidence of our walk in faith. So much of how God wants us to live as believers is in the arena of hope and the field of the unseen. God wants us to believe that he is, not in what we see, not in what we have, but our hope is in him. Until next week, be blessed.
You've been listening to The Threshing Floor with Pastor Jeb Dotson. The Threshing Floor is a ministry of Life Point Church. We would love to hear from you. You can mail your questions and comments to The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. That's The Threshing Floor, P.O. Box 387, Crockett, Texas, 75835. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.